Save big money at Menards. Never get locked out from lost keys again. Menards carries a huge selection of electronic lock sets. Get a Truebolt touchscreen deadbolt that features one-touch locking and 50 programmable user codes. Available in matte black or satin nickel finishes on sale now through September 8th at Menards. America's number one home improvement retailer for customer satisfaction, according to J.D. Power. Visit jdpower.com for details and menards.com for deals. Save big money at
Menards. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the WOW. This is episode number 12. I'm Mike Agavino here with my pal Woody Overton for a Friday, July 19th episode. Hey, Woody.
Yes. What's up, buddy?
You should see that beard, folks. That beard is all the way back.
Beard's going to be gone today. I'm going to see my stylist for the first time. I try to avoid her. Not like the doctor avoid her, but when I have to do public shit, I get it all cleaned up. And my hair hadn't been done since before I got sick and all that. But we got a Thomas Kane event, who's the author of the opening song for Bloody Angola. And he's got a Nashville contract now and all that. And he's got kind of like a private deal Saturday night where I have to go to that. I don't have to. I'm going to go to that. And
that's cool. That guy's awesome.
I'm going out of town next week to work on some defense expert shit. I got to clean up. So
you're losing the beard entirely, or are you just getting it?
No. I'll get it all tightened up and mustache tightened up and hair done and all that. Yeah.
Woody's Glam Squad. Okay.
Right.
No wonder you're doing gossip reporting on Bravo shows now. You have your own Glam Squad, like all those ladies do.
Right. Got to get pimped out. So let's go to what's still dominating all the headlines. Let's talk about Trump.
Man, it is dominating all the headlines.
Let's call it an assassination attempt because that fire chief got killed. And two other people got seriously wounded. Trump got clipped in the ear, and it's all a fucking shit show.
So should we call it a shit show, or is there a more appropriate professional term?
I told you last week, whenever we talked about it, that there was going to be so much more to come out, and there has been. And, I do a full episode on Real Life Real Crime Original, and it's not going to be the same stuff we're talking about today. I used to work these events, and I've actually worked three of them for Donald Trump in the security standpoint back in the day. I wanted to hold on my tongue because I knew, even though they're heroes and all that, and we'll get into it, what they did, there's a lot of shit. It was just all fucked up. Everything.
Yes. And now this, Cheadle, the head of the Secret Service, is going to testify apparently Monday in Washington. So
you know what she's going to do? She's going to get up there.
She's going to not answer questions.
I don't have the answer to that, but I'll get it for you. Right. And let me tell you something. And this is not political. And we'll get into that. But they found out that the kid, this asshole, and I'm not going to say his name to give him any credit, but his social media or whatever his searches were for Biden, the DNC, Trump, and the rally, right? The Trump's rally on the 13th. And so, he probably would have shot Biden too. And this, it's not political. It's about being American and this asshole getting away with this. But I did see Biden's fucking, when they interviewed him about something they asked him about, how well do you know they had the Secret Service? He said, oh, well, I've known him for years. And it's a she.
Well, I don't think that was the exact context, but it was, he definitely referred to her as a he. And we'll hit on that. But you and I, so this is happening Saturday, and we're going back and forth on text. I'm asking you questions, and you're giving me your insight from, again, having planned out some of these protections for Trump and others over the years. And I'm just amazed at the incompetence. But we haven't had a chance to talk about it again since then. So we're doing it with you all with us here today, which I think will be you know, will be interesting. And so, you know, they were aware. Let's just talk about the security breakdowns for a second. So they're aware of this guy's presence for at least 25 minutes.
That's now been, it came out this morning, that it was an hour from the time they had him by the metal, the check-in area, the magnometers, et cetera, and he was reported to the time he shot. It was an hour. Just over now.
Wow. Okay. So I did not see that this morning. So mm-hmm. they've been saying for the last couple of days that it was at least 25 minutes, but didn't make you think it could extend as far as an hour. So
right.
he never went through. He was just in that area, but they could see him with a rangefinder.
Yeah. And for those of you who don't know, you know, a rangefinder, I know that y'all use it in golfing and now and shit, but it's, you know, it's a laser, a handheld laser device, the binocular. It has a crosshair in it, and you put it on whatever your target is, and you hit the button, and it shoots a laser out, and it comes back to you and tells you the exact distance. No reason to have a rangefinder, period. Also, they, you know, he had the backpack on. ARs do have collapsible stocks, and it's possible, and I was thinking about this, and I talk about this on the original that's coming out tomorrow, that it's possible that he had that AR in that backpack. I mean, it really is. And he gets to the check-in area, and I mean, basically he's scanning to see what kind of competency they're doing. And if he thought he could get through, he would have done it. But I think that, you know, naturally he had a backup plan. I mean, he had been there. They know now that he's been, it came out also today that he been to the site at least two times prior to the shoot. So
is there any other, if you're on site and in charge of security and you see someone with a rangefinder, is there any other plausible reason for them to have a rangefinder, or should that just be the biggest red flag ever?
Biggest red flag ever. And the thing is, and what they attempted to do, but they couldn't find him after the initial report came in. Okay, so Secret Service comes in. They can say whatever the fuck they want to about it was local law enforcement's fault. That's bullshit. The Secret Service comes in once the site is identified days ahead of time. And that team comes in specifically to identify any possible threats, any buildings, any whatever. You set up your access points where the metal detector is going to be. You figure out how many bodies you need on the ground, like bodies in the parking lot, bodies being law enforcement, in the parking lot, how many Secret Service snipers you're going to need, who's going to be, they have roving security, all right, which is what I did. And if anybody, you get a report on anything, you find that motherfucker, you get eyes on him and you stop him and you question. Well, guess what? If he's a good Trump supporter and he's not there for nefarious reasons, he's not hiding, right? I mean, that he would have gained access to the rally and what have you. And then let me tell you something else. Then back then in the day when Trump did his rallies, they would say, oh, we only have X amount of tickets. That's bullshit. They let anybody in. Yeah, you can give the tickets away or do whatever, but that bitch is getting filled past capacity. And that's why you have all these people who are outside the rally but can still hear it. And because it was actually to capacity, but they're still hanging around and seeing. And then they saw him, and numerous people saw him. Fuck, they got video of him, you know, on the roof and stuff. It's just mind blowing. So, anyway, the Secret Service comes in, that pre-team comes in. They develop the security plan, right? Naturally, they don't have 500 motherfuckers to fly to every campaign rally, but they have a team that is going to there, and it's probably the same team that's assigned to Trump, each one of Trump's rallies. And so when you go in, then you meet with local law enforcement, the sheriffs and the state police, and a lot of cops volunteer and for local agencies. You have this meeting, and first of all, they had a meeting with the heads of these departments and said, this is how many bodies we need, right? The day of, you show up early as fuck. And if the rally is like 5 o'clock, you're there at 7 o'clock in the morning. and you're setting up that security perimeter, and you're putting your local guys where you, you know, where you said they need to go and everything else. But there is a, they are so full of shit. There is a Secret Service agent that is dedicated to going around. It may not be the head guy that developed the plan, but there's agents that are dedicated to going around and making sure everybody's in position and doing their jobs. And that's a fact. So they just fucked it up.
Well, so a lot of time transpires, a lot more than I thought coming into this conversation, right, between that spotting of him initially by the entrance and the next time we know of him actually being chronicled, spotted, which is when the group of people at the very beginning of Trump's speech come walking back because they had sought shade. They come walking back toward the stage. They're not, they don't have seats, but they're going to get in an audible range for the speech. And they're coming in from an angle where they see the guy doing the army crawl on the sloped part of the roof of that building. And they begin urgently to reach out to any officers that they could find in the area. Tell me if this matches your understanding. My understanding is that that is the point at which the two local officers attempt to scale. One guy basically does a cups his hands and lifts the other one up so that the other one can get a peek on to the rooftop. And at that moment, that guy is straining to maintain his hold on the rooftop and is not in a position to get to his weapon or to get to his communication device. And so when the shooter points the rifle directly at that guy, he leaps down. It's approximately 8 feet down. He supposedly injures himself. I don't know how serious that was, but then immediately gets on comms and to the everyone there that tied to that main communication channel, they are alerted to the guy on the roof at that point in time. Is that your understanding?
Yes. And I think that, and I read it again, it was early this morning. I was trying to go back and find it. Not only that, yes, that happened. And actually, that cop probably saved Trump's life. I'm gonna tell you why.
Yep.
It's come out that this douchebag was such a shitty shot that he couldn't even make his high school rifle team. First of all, I don't know. I've never heard of a high school having a fucking a rifle team, but I guess they
on the rifle team,
right? Yeah.
Oh, we have.
Let me tell you. Let's tell you about really. I'm gonna tell you about that. Hmm? Every since probably World War II, everybody that's ever served in the military shot the same qualification course that this kid couldn't pass at his fucking high school. All right. And it's the same one. So everybody you see in uniform today, whether it's Coast Guard or Marines or Army, Air Force, whatever, they shot the same fucking course. It's not that hard. I mean, it's very fucking simple. They take guys out of the barrios in fucking New York City that have never even seen a rifle and can get them qualified on it, right? So when he's on the roof, that ridge, he's using that as a prop to shoot. The cop probably hollered at him or did whatever, and he turns and looks and sees him. He turns to point the cop. Cop drops. But he knows now sugar's turned to shit, and he's got to do. They're onto him, right? So he turns over and he starts shooting. When you line up your target, you get your target, it's called front sight aperture. You get your target in your front sight, and then you take a breath and you let out. And some people stop halfway, but I just slowly let it out. You bring it back down on there, and you squeeze. And the rifle should surprise you every time it goes off. This motherfucker doesn't have that time now, right? Because he knows the cops have seen him. But here's a real shit kicker. And I read it this morning. I talked about it. They said they're saying the fucking Secret Service sniper had him in their sights for at least 3 minutes. 3 minutes on the rooftop before they shot. Okay, that's the fuck up. But that cop, even though he just got to peer over and probably holler at the guy or whatever, and the guy turned the rifle on him and he drops, right? Then he hurries up and turns around and doesn't take the time to squeeze the trigger. He's hurrying up, pop, pop, and shooting, just to be shooting. And then after, and then look, you got to, it's going to come out in the, and I want to see the whole safety plan. I want to see the plan that the original fucking site Secret Service agent drew up, and where, who's supposed to be where, and why that roof wasn't covered. And they're saying they had officers inside that building.
They're saying that someone was supposed to be up there and didn't show up.
Back to they hit the guy for the Secret Service who's supposed to go around, roving security, if you want to call it, and make sure every spot is filled. That's your fucking job. And it's the only job you got. And you didn't do it. I mean, it's just stupid. And I hate to throw shade on anybody, but you know what? Them bitches deserve some shade. This is what they do for a living.
Woody, do you know why I want to learn more Italian?
Why, I go?
Because my niece is getting married next month, and that means a wedding full of these crazy Italians from out of town.
Huh. And when it comes to learning new language, there's only one leader, Rosetta Stone.
Rosetta Stone's the most trusted language learning program, period. I've come a good ways using Rosetta Stone, but it's time to take it to the next level. My niece's wedding will be great prep for a trip I want to take next year.
Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. No English translations. Rosetta Stone helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. It's designed for long-term retention.
And the true accent feature is like having a personal trainer for your accent. Lifetime membership has all 25 of the languages for the rest of your life. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off.
There's no better time than right now to get started. Listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today.
That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 languages for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. Hey, everybody, it's Aggo. Listen up, especially you ladies over 40. I've got some good news. It's called Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony is an all-in-one hormonal balancing solution. It relieves symptoms of menopause. It promotes healthy weight loss and curbs cravings. It improves sleep quality. It reduces bloating and gas. It relieves hot flashes. It can even relieve occasional mood swings, although nothing like that has ever happened in my house. Hormone Harmony isn't just for menopause. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalance should take it, but it's perfect for the horrible menopause symptoms that make you put your life on hold. For a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use code RLRC at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and code RLRC at checkout for 15% off today.
And it would be like you and I record and you not hitting the record button to record for an hour, although I've done that several times in my podcasting career.
I think we've been there.
You have one job, motherfucker, that do it, right? And then do it. So, and then they to try to throw it on the local law enforcement, even, yeah, maybe the guy didn't show up for whatever reason. It's still your job to make sure that spot is filled.
Well, and I saw the local commissioner interviewed early this morning who said that their role was strictly crowd control, traffic, dealing with the car, that they were not part of putting people on roofs, that the two officers that climbed that roof did it out of urgency of the moment, being their assigned territory. Right. So,
and if people are hollering, there's a fucking shooter on the reef. And so, yeah, it's not their job. That's why I told you the local law enforcement is going to be in the parking lots, going to be, you know, standing in corners and different spots, you know, places. Basically, they're acting as a deterrent. They're not trained in asset protection and protecting candidates or high value targets, whoever it is. Secret Service is what they do. Right. And besides counterfeit money and shit like that, and the uniform Secret Service Division, that's totally different. But these guys are trained they train on doing this, and they got it wrong. You know what?
Complacency. No, you saying the counter. Absolutely. Well, the counter snipers. So
I'm telling you, I read you said that this morning.
You just said that they had him in their sights for minutes.
They said minutes. I think it was 3 minutes and something seconds. I'll try to find it on you for you again.
I had heard that, and then
a lot of shit, you know,
there are all of these different visualizations that are out online, all these 3D illustrations, et cetera, et cetera. And I thought that the slope of that roof line, and there's a tree as well that is between where the counter snipers were and that building, that the counter snipers were obstructed from seeing him because of the slope until he lifted his head.
But you had people that are saying there's a fucking shooter on the roof. And even if they couldn't see him and that cop's peeking his head over or whatever, what I read this morning, the one sniper team turned their directions once they were alerted. There's a shooter on the roof. There's someone on the roof. And they turn, and it's approximately 3 minutes, like 3 minutes and 30-some seconds that they had him, and they didn't kill him until he started shooting. You explain that one.
That's amazing if that's true. I mean, at minimum, let me tell you something at that else. Point.
People don't know this, and you couldn't have probably seen from that distance. I probably shouldn't even tell it, but I'm going to tell it anyway. When you work these rallies, if you're carrying a firearm, Secret Service gives you a pin, and you're not in uniform. They give you a pin, which you have to wear on your lapel, and it changes every rally, every day. And that way, other law enforcement in the area see you have a bulge in your pocket or whatever, they see the pin. And you're only getting it that morning right before you go out in the field. They actually give them to you, and I've worn them. So But I mean, I'm not giving away any state fucking secrets here.
So there's no mistaking good guy, bad guy for good guy.
This guy, I mean, I don't get it.
At that point, though, wouldn't even if let's say there's concern, they don't know who the person is. They think it's likely just somebody locally trying to watch from there. Whatever the hell they think, you still at minimum have to get Trump off the stage.
Wait. And Trump should have never got on the stage when they lost sight of this kid or this asshole outside the metal detectors. He's acting suspicious. He's got a range finder, and then they lose him in the crowd. Trump should have never taken the stage. Let me tell you something. I've never been to a Trump rally or worked one where he wasn't 45 minutes to an hour late getting on the fucking stage anyway. That's what he does. He lets the crowd build up and all that. What's another 8 minutes? Because it was 8 minutes since his speech when the shithead opened fire. Shouldn't have happened. They should have never been on stage, period, until they find this motherfucker with a backpack and a rangefinder. Which was like 56 minutes.
And you've never ever heard of some sort of rule where you don't fire until the sniper fires, right? I mean, that just sounds completely.
If you can't, I mean, maybe they're trying to that 3 minutes or something. They're trying to identify and get the cop to peek over the building. But here's the thing: if they all have radio communication, right? Even though it's called tax, different channels. Even though the Secret Service would have probably a different tax than the local, but their Secret Service would also have access to the local tax, to the local radio. The local law enforcement channels. That's so everybody can get on the same channel. And if you're Secret Service, you're going to have your Secret Service channel and the local tag that everybody else is on, but they'll swap back and forth. See what I'm saying? Like if somebody starts screaming, and you know what? Yeah. You don't get on the fucking radio unless you got something to say. It's like, we saw a suspicious dude with a rangefinder by the thing. He's wearing such and such with a backpack. And then they would start looking for him. Right? Or Secret Service said, well, look for him. Let's identify him. What have you. Within 50 something minutes go by, 55, 56 minutes before the shots fired. I forgot what your question was, but
let me ask another one. Events like this, are they almost always some kind of combination of Secret Service and local state reinforcements? Is it more normal where it, so they're all that, that's all, always, always the way it goes.
Always. And unless even like the inauguration and shit like that, you're gonna have local guys outside, just for more bodies to serve as a deterrent. But on these events, they can't do it. Sometimes they're doing 3 and 4 a day, flying to different states, et cetera. And that's where that pre-assessment team comes in, evaluates the sites, and they have another team that goes back today, and they tell them how many bodies they need to be in COPS and where they're going to put them. You have that meeting that day. You get your pin if you're in plain clothes. You go do stay in your post and do your job. Yeah.
So there's no sort of lack of familiarity, new team coming together. There's no excuse around being disorganized because it was a combination of resources from state, local, and Secret Service, right? Because
happens every day, every time. They do it every day. They've been doing it for, 40-something years, and they do it every day. The local guys, there's an advantage to having the local guys because they know the local shitheads, right? And also, you know, whatever. It's really a warm body to stay in a position to act as a deterrent. And of course, you know, if they happen to see something, be like this hero in my mind that peers over the roof and almost gets shot himself, and that made the asshole turn around and shoot too quick. So there's never, they can't, they don't have enough. It's a misconception that people think that Secret Service is all they do is this, and it's not. And a lot of times in election years, they will pull the uniform guys from positions in Washington, D.C. and different places and put them in plain clothes just to send them to help, like the potential vice president is speaking, and now they're giving this Kennedy guy Secret Service protection, right? You're supposed to get that. You know, if you're a candidate, I know after you get the nominee, but how fucking stupid is that? They don't have enough. They have to use the local people.
Well, I mean, especially on that one, considering the family history being a Kennedy, you would have thought they would have given him a security detail. But
well, so I heard they're giving it to him
tell
now.
Tell me. Yeah. Yeah, they are. So tell me about, so this guy has a detonator inside his vehicle. He's got two IEDs. He's got three magazines with 100 or so additional rounds. He's got a bulletproof vest. So he's at least thinking there's a chance he escapes after he shoots.
Well,
right?
I think, each one of these assholes that play these video games and, think it, they don't know what a real life situation is like, right? He didn't know. I mean, certainly, well, I'm sure some kamikaze motherfuckers do it, but I think he was probably he got surprised by the cop pulling himself up on the roof. He started firing quickly, and then he was executed basically. And he should have been, fuck him. But he had the detonator with him he had the remote with him. I think his intention was probably to set that off, and then, take the shots. I don't think
create some kind of diversion.
Talk about and the diversion would have helped him get away. Well, you blow up your own fucking car, where are you going? Right? I mean, you can only run so far. And, they said he had purchased a ladder ahead of time. And now today they're coming out saying he accessed the roof by climbing on top of an AC unit and climbing up. But he might have thought in his fucking fantasy world that he lived in that he's going to get away. Well, you're not going to get away in a situation like that. It's just not going to happen.
What about purchasing those items? Can you can't legally purchase those items, right?
You get a bulletproof vest, you can get everything as far as the explosives go. Walmart sells I forget the name of it, but it's a fucking explosive, but they sell it for when you shoot targets. You're to put it behind your target and it makes your target go boom, right? But enough of that shit, people take that shit and they make pipe bombs out of it. I think it's cordite, whatever the name of it is. It's in a sport goods section. Go get it. And the people blow shit. They, you know, naturally, you don't follow instructions like me taking too many Advil, right? They only take two. I'm sure that's the whatever this explosive is has only used this amount for whatever. Well, you know what? Put a bunch of it together and it's bad. So, yeah, everything he got is legal and including
okay.
the ammunition.
I had heard a report that it wasn't. Okay. So you or I could walk into a shop and purchase a bulletproof vest today?
You go to any Army surplus store, buy one. Go to any the police shops, and usually they'll card you to see it. But, I mean, you can get anything. It's not. It's
well, they say a fish stinks from the head down. This was a complete and total failure, yet we have this head of the Secret Service, Kim Cheadle, who has been endorsed by her boss, who has said that she intends to remain. So this catastrophic failure happens, and to date, no one is being held accountable for this. And she's going to go, again, we talked about it, she's going to go testify. I agree with you. She's going to say, ongoing investigation, can't share that. Sorry, Congressman, blah, 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 blah.
Hey, so get accountability. Let me interrupt you real quick. The stuff that I'm talking about is Tannerite, and they sell it in the little containers. It's supposed to be, it's when you put behind your targets when you shoot them so they blow up. And that's what it is. I mean, you can fucking buy it legally. Sorry, go ahead. Yeah, it says, no one's been held accountable yet.
No, and I'm just saying she's been defiant that she's not going anywhere, that this is, that the buck does stop with her, but it doesn't mean she's resigning.
Did you see where they confronted her last night at the RNC? Yeah.
Yeah.
She says that's highly inappropriate. This isn't the place and the time for that bullshit briefing they gave yesterday. And they all came out of it saying that's cover your ass briefing. Yeah.
Well, I'm amazed that somebody thought it was a good idea to have her there and walk in the floor for any reason, because right. Who knows what could have happened. But, you know, it'll be really interesting to see what the heck she has to say on Monday. I think we agree. This is lone gunman, kid who, for whatever reason, this is how he's going to become famous. It's not driven by an ideology. It's there's not hate for one side versus another, seemingly, unless he's just done an incredible job of hiding any evidence to that. It's
did you see what came out this morning about Steam, STEAM? They found that. So you saw that, and he said basically, you know, watch me on July the 13th or whatever. His second cell phone, the one that was found inside his residence, has only 27 numbers on it. The one that was found with his body, but he killed his bitch ass. But you got another one in your residence with only 27 numbers in it. That's either a spank bank phone or it's something nefarious there. But I'm not a conspiracy guy. I'm just saying that that's still being investigated. The $15 donation to whatever bullshit political thing years ago, I don't think that means dick. They said his high school classmates, one of them was Hispanic. And when Trump was running before, the guy was talking about Trump and he was like, shouldn't you hate Trump? You're Hispanic and shit like that. So they said he espoused some strong political views back then. And then he shut up about it. But I think it's a lone, I mean, no history of mental illness. None of that bullshit. And yeah, got picked on in school. Well, who the fuck did get picked on in school? People don't go shoot people. And don't forget about the victim.
But he was one of those couple of kids in a class that nobody associates with, that is, they talked about his hygiene problems, that he smelled, you know, nobody, nobody wanted to associate with him. So he was bullied to a degree, but he was also just distanced. So he's essentially lived his life alone.
They also talked about something about the effect of someone hearing him saying he's going to shoot up the school. And they believe that he's the kind of person that would do that. Then a threat came in about the possible shooting of the school, and he didn't show up for a couple of days. And maybe he's always had it on his mind, lived in his fantasy world. Who fucking knows?
You mentioned Corey, Comparator, and the volunteer fire chief that was killed, the 50-year-old.
You're right. Think about all the lives that dude saved in his career. The burning buildings, and I ran into one in my day and got a lady out. I ain't never fucking run into another one. And he did that for a career. I mean, he gave his life before he got killed. He gave his life, or dedicated his life, to helping other people. His last words, whatever, was something to the effect of, get down. He's still protecting his family, and he gets executed.
Well, thankfully his family is going to be taken care of. That's hardly solace in the face of all this, but I also think his family ought to be suing the federal government and collecting a very big check at some point for that lawsuit.
I don't know about that. I know that he was a veteran in the VFW. He's an active member of the Veteran Foreign Wars. He's in the Gulf War, the first Gulf War. And they, they're raising money for him and all that. It said he's just a fucking hell of a nice guy. And you would never know he was a Marine or whatever. Just would give you the shirt off his back and everything else. And don't forget, there's two more people who are seriously wounded and their lives are changed forever.
I made a small contribution to his GoFundMe. At the point that I did, which I think was Sunday, maybe it was Monday, it was already over $3 million. So I don't know where that is now. It may be,
doesn't bring him back now. It doesn't. That's awesome for his family, but it doesn't put him at the dinner table.
Now, know that when something like this is going on, my instinct, because of my background and what I want to look at, is I'm going to look at the media and how they are covering things. So I immediately went to my NewsMix channel, where I've got six different networks up, and I'm watching how they are covering things. And one of the unique aspects of this is it happening, number one, on a weekend, number two, on a weekend right in front of the Republican National Convention. You got every network's second and third string players that were there. We got nothing out of there for 40 minutes from any network. They've got a couple of people on the ground. They eventually are talking to people in the parking lot and getting these the stories from people as they're leaving, what they saw, et cetera, et cetera. Most of the networks are not even calling it a shooting, are not acknowledging that shots have been fired. The most absurd headline of all of them, CNN's headline said, "Secret Service rushes Trump off stage after he falls at rally."
Yeah, right.
The Secret Service rushes Trump off stage after he falls at rally. Are you fucking kidding?
When Biden finally came out with his first short statement, and I watched that, he didn't even call it an assassination attempt. He avoided that. And later on that night, he changed it to that. But I don't even like to watch the news, to be honest with you, but I was watching that day about flipping back and forth between the channels, and they have them all in a row. NBC wasn't even fucking covering it. They had on about the hurricane and Houston and shit. I'm like, motherfucker, former president of the United States just got shot. People are dead. And this is like a Kennedy moment. This is like a Reagan moment. And Kennedy was my lifetime, but Reagan was. I mean, how do you not cover it? And some dumbass came out and said, oh, well, but Trump set this up to make him, you know, to whatever for election. Okay, yeah, motherfucker. He shot himself in the ear from 150 yards away.
Well, there was a lot of idiotic conspiracy theories, but sticking with the media for a second, ABC, Martha Raddatz on ABC said that Trump clenching his fist and yelling, fight, 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 is only going to lead to more violence. She criticized Trump for his defiance and his bravery, courage, standing up and raising a fist and yelling, fight, fight, fight. I mean, come on.
Let me tell you something.
We're all watching this thing unfold, and your instinct as a network is to criticize this guy who came within whatever, an inch, a half inch of losing his life. It's nuts.
Less than that. And there's been so many of them. I don't even know their names. And they say such stupid shit like that. Let me tell you something. He did that. But I've seen the reports since that have actually said, after he did that, the reporter was standing right there. After he did it, then it seemed like he realized, you know, with the blood and everything, I think the shock value started to wear off of it. And then he did give one more when he's given his vehicle. But you know what? Trump is what I call a street fighter. And he's different than other politicians, right? And this is not political. I'm not saying I support Trump over Biden. I'm just telling you. And I've always said this way back in the day. The reason he got his ass in trouble so much, if somebody would say something stupid, he would immediately respond, right? If you punch him in the mouth, he's going to punch you back. And him getting shot and knowing he was fucking shot and getting up and saying, fight, 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 that's adrenaline. That's it. That is pure fucking animal instinct. And like, you're going to shoot me, motherfucker? And you didn't even get it? Fuck you. Fight, fight, fight. And you know what? I think I'd done the same thing. It wouldn't have mattered who you are. If you got balls.
I think you probably would have, but I think it's a very small percentage of people that would. Yeah. That are actually built that way.
Would have flipped the bird. This motherfucker would be like, bitches, you missed me or you didn't get me, right? But that should have never happened because the Secret Service should have carried his ass out like a handbag if they needed to. And there should have been no hesitation, no whatever. After the initial human shield going down and covering him up, checking him for injuries, they had exit plan A, B, C, D, and E in case one of them was blocked. And they should have carried his ass just like they did Reagan. They threw him in the limousine so hard he broke his ribs, right? You don't give him a chance. That's what you train on. Yeah. But you know what? They got my motherfucking respect, especially the one that came out of the crowd. And even when Trump's doing the fight, he's raising his arms up because he swore to take that bullet, right? And you don't know. You don't fucking know. And like in Iraq and Afghanistan and different places like that, they got smart where they would set the first IED to blow it and then get a response to come in. And they already had the second, third, fourth wave of what they were going to do. Like, the Boston Marathon is probably not a great example. They set off the first bomb and people were running away from it. And they set off the second bomb where it kills more, it takes more casualties. And they're lucky that that didn't happen. And that's the truth.
Well, we're all really lucky, especially Trump, that he wasn't hit. Because if he was,
oh my God.
Could you imagine where the country would be right now? Because it would be
burning.
All of this incompetence that would have immediately been exposed, it would have been really, really difficult to convince the public that the government wasn't involved if it went down that way. The amount of panic that would come, and as sloppy as all of this was, I mean, it would.
It
would have gotten ugly.
I said it that day. I said, "Oh my God, they are so lucky he didn't get killed." I'm talking about Trump, because I mean, you want to talk about civil fucking war? You think they did something on January 6th? By breaking into the Capitol, if you think there are not groups on both sides that are holed up somewhere with stockpiling ammunition and waiting for a chance to overthrow and have anarchy, you're a fucking idiot, because they're there. And had Trump been executed, shit would have burned and people would have died. I'm talking about outside of, and I'm not a conspiracy theory guy, and I'm telling you the fucking truth, because I had the red ass. I would have gone out and killed someone, but there are a lot of people who don't know what I know, and they would have been like, it's a conspiracy or whatever. And, you know, it would have been a total shit show. But thankfully, he's alive. Unfortunately, the dad and the fire chief and public servant isn't alive. The other two people severely wounded. And, you know, but thankfully Trump is alive. And I think once I realized he was going to be alive, I said, oh, they just gave him the election.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that doesn't turn into fat when you consume it. Instead, it turns into a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body.
So getting more MCTs in your diet is like flipping a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which flushes out excess fat and calories. And Dr. Gundry has created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it comes in a tasty drink form. It actually tastes good. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized.
So if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/RLRC and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. And again, that's GundryMD.com/RLRC.
Awesome.
All right, good deal.
Get 15% off a set of BrakeMess Select, Select Pro, or Import Direct brake pads and two rotors now at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
And unless they're replaced by it with someone who's got a big red cape with an S on it on their back, because the one thing they did, both sides, no matter what side you're on, except a couple of assholes, nobody wants to see. I don't want to see Biden get shot, right? And then for him to do that and not succeed, and Trump to get up and say fight, fight, fight underneath that American flag, that touches people on both sides of the aisle. All right, if you get shot like that and you ain't running like a little bitch and you're getting up and say fight, 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 what will you do for your
call? I mean, the emotional rage that would have been there, anything could have happened. But it seemed like maybe in the aftermath, cooler heads were going to prevail. You had a number of politicians, including an effort at least by Biden to come out and say the rhetoric is too sharp. We've got to lower the temperature in this country and change the nature of our politics, right? And then immediately the next night, he is interviewed by Lester Holt on NBC and couldn't stop himself. He couldn't stop himself. The second that Holt started asking some difficult questions and challenging the president about his rhetoric, John Ziegler's got a great term for what's going on right now. He says the Democrat politicians are like zoo animals because they've been held in captivity for so long because the media carried their water forever. But following the debate, the liberal media had to change direction to try and protect their reputations and regain legitimacy. And so they started doing actual reporting. And having lived in a zoo for 20 years, no one in the Democrat Party was prepared to handle a challenging media. And that's and he has just withered in the face of it. I mean,
after that interview, I think it was yesterday, yesterday or the day before, I think the day before, he's given the interview, or no, he's given the speech at the NAACP.
The NAACP, yeah.
Right, and he fucking talking about turning down the rhetoric. He's saying, you know, all the shit about Trump and Charlottesville, and he said something to the effect of...
Black jobs?
Yeah. He said, but you know what? Something about the vice president being black.
He was trying to make saying, the point that
it's just wrong.
Endorsing a DEI hire as an illustration of how he has the backs of black Americans. But
yeah,
it's been a total fail. And of course, last night, I'm sure everybody saw that they announced that he has COVID.
Yeah. How did you see that? Right now, get him off the trail so he can't say anything else stupid. I did see that, but you know what? I'm not being political. It could have been Biden that was shot, right? And if Trump was saying shit, I'd say the same thing. It needs to stop. And I think a lot of people, what I was saying about winning an election, unless they pull out some miracle candidate, the people in America, at least me. And I saw a lot of interviews, excuse me, et cetera, where the people were more, and I even read a lot of them, right? They just interviewed anybody they could find, Democrats, Republicans, whatever. And even most Democrats were like, you know what, that's just wrong. And it shouldn't come to the point where we're killing or trying to kill former presidents and killing innocent people for political ideals, and you know, settle it at the voting box. I'm paraphrasing all of them, but there was not one of them that said, it, you know, like, whatever the fuck, bro. It's just stupid, and they need to wake up because, well, now the security's woke up, and I think that they've got complacent and they've been getting away with it for too long, and it only takes. I just can't imagine. They say outside security perimeter, motherfucker was 150 to 180 yards, right? I've never worked a homicide that had put out a bigger perimeter than that of crime scene tape, right? And how fucking stupid is that? Don't tell me it's outside the perimeter. That whole fucking block should have been a perimeter, a safety security perimeter. It makes no sense. If a bullet can reach him as a target, that should have been inside the so-called security perimeter.
Well, I think this is another one of those situations where it's just a perfect storm. It's not a conspiracy. It's a perfect storm. All kinds of mistakes are made by people, not intentionally, I don't believe.
No.
Yeah. Now in the wake of what I was going to say is I think that the visit that Biden got from Chuck Schumer and Pelosi, apparently, I think that this, he's got COVID, is the flag finally being thrown in by Biden. And I would predict here that he's going to step down before we get through the weekend, that they are going to.
You saw that they, you know, of course they had tried to move up the nominating them electronically, whatever the fuck. Now they're trying to move it back. They know that. I mean, first of all, it's not just this. I mean, I'm not a neurologist, but obviously, and I've dealt with this in my personal life, unfortunately, and am dealing with it with someone with the decline. It doesn't mean anything. The dude served his country forever. Mad props to him, but motherfucker, there's a time to give up. And I'm not talking, I mean, I may be a Democrat, y'all don't fucking know. What I'm saying is, he is obvious to the entire world that he has cognitive issues. And how in the fuck can you be commander in chief and have your finger on the red button and everything else if you have that issue? And now, I mean, it's just coming to more of a head and a head and a head. And I expected that, I was thinking that they were going to wait until this convention and pull out a miracle candidate. And I don't know how it is. And I know they lose their campaign money and all this if it's not Harris. It's never been invoked before where the president had to step down, right? And the vice president takes over for because of health reasons, other than if they are having a surgery or something going on under anesthesia. But I totally agree with you. They're going to pull someone out of the hat, and you know what? They need to. And, I mean, Democrats won't have a chance of winning this election. They better do something.
Well, I don't think there's a path to pulling someone out of a hat. And I think many of those people that might have been circling, thinking, the Gretchen Whitmers, the Gavin Newsoms, the Josh Shapiros, et cetera, none of those people believe they could win now anyway. And so do you want to go jump in? I think that there's only the things that they want to do right now is they want to make sure that a bunch of things surrounding what have gone on over the last period of years are buried and can't be resurrected. So he's going to resign. He's going to pardon himself, or Harris is going to pardon him. He's going to pardon his son, his brother, his wife. I mean, everybody's going to get pardons here. Obama's going to get a pardon here, all of that. And so none of this dust can ever be stirred back up again. They'll let Harris run. She'll lose. She'll lose badly. Her political career will end. And they do have a strong bench. Some of those people I just talked about, that they will fight their asses off to try and protect their Senate and House of Representatives positions. But I think that they're looking at the board here, this thing, because the character piece was the thing that this threat to democracy piece was, and character piece was the thing that you saw in the polls still pulled toward Biden. And this entire situation has created such an aura around Trump of toughness, invincibility. They're seeing what Melania, his granddaughter Kai, right, last night delivering his speech. Right. They have humanized Trump. Trump even looks different when you look at him. I think he's going to deliver a speech. We're recording on Thursday tonight, and I think it's going to be a different speech, unlike anything we've ever heard from Trump before. This speech is going to be, and shit, for all we know, I mean, you've certainly been fired at. I never have, but I imagine knowing you were millimeters, whatever, from losing your life does some things to you. And he may be a different guy today than he was.
Certainly does. And they've already said that, like, when he showed up at the RNC, et cetera, he seemed different and all that. I'm going to tell you something. Coming into touch with your own mortality, even mine recently with the brucellosis, but I'll go into detail another time that it happened to me, and I was like inches away. First thing I did once I got the situation under control was call my daughter, and she was like 4 at the time. That's not the mm-hmm. most recent one, but tell her that I love her. I mean, shit happens. And Trump doesn't have any training for it. You know, and probably has always thought he was invincible. But I don't know. I hope the country comes together regardless how it goes. And this fucking violence has got to stop. And look, I knew they were going to come back with the gun control shit. I was waiting on that also, and they have. Mm-hmm. And but here's the deal. That weapon, that firearm was purchased legally. And the kid took it from his dad, and maybe his dad knew or didn't know. I don't know. I don't know why his parents called law enforcement 60 minutes before the shooting and said, hey, he's missing and we're worried. Probably because they knew he took the gun, or the rifle. But, you know, people kill people, right? And that's a fact. And I mean, that the he had a fucking bomb in his car. It hadn't been a rifle. It had been something else. If you have it on your mind to do it, you're going to do it. And we need to stop it. And people just don't understand the carnage that it causes. Taking one life, and I just, they've never had to sit there and tell a family, hey, your kid's never coming home, right? They're dead because of a senseless, stupid-ass act. I don't know.
Think about what has gone on in the last 3 weeks. Just 3 weeks ago was the debate. 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So right. there's that debate. And afterward, Trump was supposed to be sentenced in that New York hush money case. Right. The polls were neck and neck at that point. And in that time period, you know, Biden shits his pants in the debate. His activists in the media turn against him. Many in his own party turn against him. He denies their push to have him step down. You have the Supreme Court come in with the rulings on presidential immunity and the Chevron case. You have the Biden family engaging in this intra-party war with the Democratic leaders and donors. His campaign donations shut down completely. I mean, his money dries up fast following that. We have an assassin's bullet missing Trump by less than an inch. Then you have the judge in the Florida Trump documents case, the Mar-a-Lago case, come in and rule that hiring this Jack Smith as special counsel violated the appointments clause of the Constitution. So not only is that case dismissed, but it's probably the end of the Washington, D.C. case, because between the presidential immunity ruling from the court and the ruling about Smith as a special prosecutor, it looks like the whole, call it lawfare or call it whatever you want, the whole Operation Get Trump thing, that it's done, that Trump beat it. And yeah. So, you know, that Biden delayed all of 48 hours following the assassination to kind of renew the Trump is Hitler end of democracy stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's unbelievable. So I think we've lived through an unprecedented 3 week period in U.S. history and U.S. political history that people are going to look back on and talk about for a very, very long time. And I think we've had a good chat covering what's transpired from our vantage points here. So I really appreciate your vantage point on this, because you bring such critical experience to it and knowledge of how this stuff is to be done. And you know, you're marveling at the incompetence. Let's me know that
I did it from my end. It
definitely was screwed up.
And that's why I didn't want to record anything ahead of time. But y'all, you're getting this on Friday. I do a Real Life Real Crime original drop about this incident, and it's Woody Overton style, right? But there's so much more that I go into detail on, and I even conclude it with a story that just fucking blows my mind. So it's about an hour episode, but yeah, you can get that tomorrow. But Mike, I don't know that it's over with, bro. What we've seen in the last 3 weeks, that's what I'm afraid of, what's coming next. But y'all, we had a full show intended to do today, but you know, this is a once in a lifetime, hopefully a once in a lifetime situation, and something I feel very strongly about. And I know you do too, Mike, but you know what? I think all of America, I mean, it feels very strongly about what happened. And now, yeah, this aftermath shit was coming anyway. I knew that from the beginning when I saw the errors that were made. Not that they're bad people. They're still heroes for standing up there and way too long and probably taking the bullet. But the guys that missed the roof and all that, it's going to come out. And they're going to change policy, procedure, whatever the fuck. But the thing, you know, that dad died and his other people were shot. The asshole was thankfully smoked like a pack of cools on the roof. and hopefully we can move forward. But I'm worried about what's coming next. Because these things to me in my entire career, especially like homicides and shit, they always seem to come in threes. I don't know why that sticks in my head, but they always seem to come in threes.
No, that's what they say. And they've chronicled that over time. And look, I think Trump's choice for running mate, J.D. Vance, is a very ballsy choice.
Yes.
A choice that's going to cause more stir on the other side than a lot of other choices he could have made. And so now you've got another layer of this thing coming in. Yep. And so, I agree with you. More than ever, the language needs to be toned down. And
there's no need for both
parties have to hold themselves accountable to that.
Right. And, you know, it's gotten worse every election, hasn't it? Like you think of Hillary and Trump and whatever. But you know what I watched last night? The Hillbilly Elegy or whatever.
Elegy. I watched it when it first came out a couple years ago.
I didn't realize it was about Vance. The kid in the movie, the character in the movie is J.D. Vance.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I read the book.
So he's been
on my radar for a while. I like him a lot.
Well, I like the fact that
I wouldn't have advised Trump to, not that he was going to ask my advice, but I wouldn't have advised Trump to make him his choice.
There were several selections that
would just have slammed the door and the election's over, but.
I don't know about the rest of them because I don't really follow fucking politics, but I like the fact that he knows this kid came up hard, came up with a drug addict mother. He did some shit when he was a juvenile, like Swim did, and everything else, and he brought himself out of it. So, and he's young, and he's a good-looking kid, too. So whatever. If something happens to Trump and he is 78, and Vance is a VP, I'm gonna feel pretty secure about it. So, but anyway, look, we had a full show plan, and I know Mike wants to do the full show, but we're not doing the full show. I think we talked about enough important stuff.
You're killing my Woody Does Gossip. I can't believe we can add it.
I'm making you do a
Woody Does Gossip.
We can add it to another day. We had no intention, y'all, no intention of this going for over an hour. And we're over an hour and 5 minutes now talking about Trump and the assassination attempt, but also the assassination of Campero, and that's it. And I think there's nothing in these other stories that Mike had prepared that can touch what we've already talked about, and that it would detract from the importance of what we said here today.
I agree, Woody. Although I am going to make you do your Woody Does Gossip on Monday, but
yeah, that's fine.
Thanks, folks. All that good podcaster shit. And,
all that good podcaster shit.
Give him a peace out, Woody, and I'll give him an aglet.
Love y'all. Peace.
Aglet.